you know it's not your typical Guy Ritchie film when there's a character named Bullet and it's not the one played by Jason Statham.
That's true.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer, and this week I'm joined by Baffle Gabbers, Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
Ian Whittington.
I like Chick-fil-A.
And Danae Hughes. Joining us as well.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Coming from a compound. Oh, wait, no, sorry.
We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do other various things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. Danae's back with us for the episode this week. Ian is with us and likes Chick-fil-A, which they don't have where you are.
No,
Ian.
We do not have Chick-fil-A.
What does all this mean?
We're in the same room!
Yeah. Love now same room podcast. Especially on a podcast with, you know, people in not only various parts of the United States of America, but also somewhat.
Mm-hmm. The world!
Who is across a lot of water.
Yeah, we'll see if you guys still like each other in 3 weeks.
Yes.
It's true.
Oh, I know
it's
we will not.
There's signs already that this is weird.
Yeah. I love Aaron too much, and it's just not reciprocated.
Boy, that is not true. There's so much reciprocation. It's uncomfortable gross. How much
it
reciprocation
is
there is.
You'll have to tell me why that you're not allowed to leave your room after 9 o'clock at the Dicer's house.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious what that's about.
And every house has
showering.
Rules.
Yeah.
Don't rule judge me.
Then he just looks at us and has to shower.
It's a lot. But it's really adorable too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Were we explaining something to tonight? We weren't mansplaining, but we were explaining something in a very, like, he did one sentence, I did the next, and Danae's just like backwards and forwards.
Literally,
just like, who
like
am I talking
watching,
to?
Watching, you know, tennis, just back and forth, the two of them, and they were like almost one-upping, punning each other.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys actually finished each other's sentence multiple times in this. It was as if you were one person.
Yeah.
And I just sat back and was like, this is life, no? Or at least while you're visiting.
I want to tell Jonathan, Jonathan doesn't know this story, tell you as well, but when we picked up Ian from the airport.
No, no.
He was coming towards the car, and we cranked Living in America as he was coming. It was either that or holding up our phones within your eyes. Gabriel.
I was like, what kind of a dick just blasts out really loud music outside of a, oh, that's my ride.
That's right.
Have you seen Rocky IV?
Yes. Well, we are excited to be together in the same room. Hope you are excited for another Behind the Sins podcast. We're going to take a look at all the stuff that's happening in the Sins world. So let's get started with the Sinside Scoop.
What's he building in there?
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This is a true story.
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sinning them, how we felt about the stuff we are sinning in general. Kick it off in commercial sins world with Pepsi. Better with Pepsi.
It's
just
simple.
That simple. Just that simple.
It works.
Is it better with Pepsi?
False advertising, but yeah. This was an Atkinson script. So what did we think about this one? Danae, why don't you kick us off?
What a delight. There were several in here, and I didn't know who had written it. And I was like, just really enjoying myself. The first one that got me was the celery one. Just like a quick, also celery.
Celery.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But then I lost my shit at the Pepsi. It's your punishment for choosing Applebee's. Which is such a hilarious way of thinking about it, because I really detest Applebee's. So I felt like, you know, sometimes there's sins when you just are like, yeah, they deserved that one.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. But then there's the entire rant, like the that's what I like rant at the end of this one. And it was just, it's just fun to see Chris unload and unleash on a Pepsi commercial.
Yeah.
So
I'm not a Pepsi fan. I think Jonathan, you are. You like Pepsi, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is funny because no matter who's writing, whether we like Pepsi or not, we tear Pepsi apart. Like, it's just kind of one of those.
I mean, to be fair, we'd probably tear Coke apart, too.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Is it the Nickelback of Coke?
Something
Coke
like that. Something like that.
Poor Pepsi.
Yeah. You have to save the Pepsi can.
We've done quite a few Pepsi commercials, though, right? Because we did the Kardashian one.
Yeah,
or
they
Jenner.
Seem to
Jenner.
Do yeah. the more epic.
We did the clown.
Yeah, the Chainsaw Clown was Pepsi, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was weird.
Pepsi Max.
Yeah, nobody heard my recycling joke, and that's okay.
But you know
you
what?
Have to
the
keep
audience
the can?
Did.
Well,
yeah, to get the nickel back.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was good. I'm so mad I missed
no,
that.
No, that just, I just don't recycle. I've never recycled, so I just didn't get it. So I'm horrible.
That's so good.
You were about to say, it just wasn't funny.
Well, that too. Fair enough. Yeah. Either would have been fair.
Never tried to get a nickel back for a can, so I didn't get that.
Like Jonathan's like, I just didn't care about that. That's why.
Yeah,
do you get a nickel a can?
Actually, in Michigan, you get 10 cents.
But
here's the thing. It's a deposit that's built into the price. So basically, they put a 10-cent deposit in all the cans and plastic bottles or whatever, and then you return them, you get that 10 cents back.
Nice.
So it's a way to encourage recycling without ever actually having incentivized people financially.
Yeah. Want to save the planet? We'll pay you to do it. We will literally pay you to do it.
We will pay you your own money to do it. The other one I wanted to mention in here was even under optimal conditions, you're only drinking Pepsi because someone dared you to. So why make the experience harder? That one made me laugh quite a bit. Jonathan, any thoughts from you on this one?
I mean, it was very funny. You guys have mentioned all. I did have the other tagline written down though. Pepsi, we set fire to Michael Jackson. We set fire to Michael Jackson in the '80s.
Mm-hmm.
That was rough and funny.
Oh, man, so good.
And then I also wrote down eating spicy wings in an office cubicle. That actually was like, yeah, why would you do that? So
yeah.
Or just wings in general. Like, that's not cubicle food.
Yeah, it's not cubicle food. Yeah. And very valid points. There was no graveyard of bones.
No.
Meaning that it was just very well thought out because that does stink.
You can't be the one stinking up an office. Like, you don't eat fish in an office. Like, there's just certain things. You can't do, especially when there's like 100 of you all jammed in there.
Yeah. Usually,
go eat in your car like a grown up.
Buffalo Wild Wings commercials are usually so, it's just such a messy product. And it was like a double product in one, like two commercials in one, a pairing Buffalo Wild Wings and Pepsi. It did make me crave buffalo wings, though.
Oh, wings are good.
That did happen.
They were extra juicy, they looked really fluidy.
Oh,
the wings with the sauce.
Yeah,
fluid wings.
Yeah, fluid wings.
Ian, some thoughts?
Yeah, by far, you've said all of the great ones. By far and away was the Pepsi. We set fire to Michael Jackson in the 80s. That was so dark. I did not expect it, and I loved it. It was so good. Because it's like, no, we're not saying anything wrong here. They did. They literally did.
Really, 100%.
That happened. And all this did was make me hungry for wings, which this is advertising the wrong product. Like, I didn't come away from this wanting a Pepsi. I wanted wings, and this lady to be punished.
And if you're eating something spicy, like soda is one of the worst things you could drink. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me some milk
or just water or anything that's not soda.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the combination.
Especially when you know it's lukewarm because of all the condensation. Like, we had some science in this video. It was great.
Yes.
I like science.
Terrible things going on. Well, there you go. That is commercial sins. Let's move into TV sins. Star Wars Visions. Yes, we promise this is the last one. The Village Bride is the name of this episode. It's episode 4. It is many people's favorite episode of the new Star Wars Visions.
Well, then I do not like this show.
Yeah, no. It is... It is the most highest ranked episode of the episodes. This was a Hughes Whittington script.
Mm-hmm.
Ian and Danae writing on this one. Ian, why don't you kick us off with some of your thoughts on the whole process here?
This was, I think, the only one I wrote on for Visions.
Okay.
I think.
It could be.
Yeah, it could be. I did not enjoy this.
High-pitched voice, take a drink.
I think it was.
It's just who he is. We can't just drink for who you are.
That's the whole point. No, that is literally the whole point of drinking games.
I apologize for every joke. This is what I am.
Do you think Jonathan chooses to reference the outtakes? No, it's just part of his being.
It's my genetic code.
So visually I like this one. It was fine. But the story was just like, didn't make any sense to me. I was like, why sacrificing this young woman any better than sacrificing the grandfather? Like, just put a new leader in place. I don't know. Surely you want to keep the young people. I don't know. Didn't make any sense to me. And it just felt like a David Attenborough documentary. There was so much landscape porn in this. It was just, look at the mountains that we drew. Aren't we impressive? Isn't it beautiful? But
it was the music that did it, though.
Yeah.
The music that was really...
Does David Attenborough sound like James Mason?
Did I sound like James Mason then?
You kind of did, yeah.
Deep in the Serengeti.
That's
my David Attenborough. Yeah, it was just really a kind of slow paced. But the last like 3 minutes is brilliant. Like the lightsabers are sensible. They don't look like umbrellas. Mm-hmm. And that kind of worked. But the dude with his helmet, and what a bizarre gadget to have. Like my entire body is unarmored. The only bit that is my head, which I'm now going to remove because it is an explosive device, which I'm now going to throw and destroy a discount Millennium Falcon.
Sure. That's one does.
Why not?
He looked like the one of the knights from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
That was one of the outtakes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Knights would say, nee.
It was an indestructible helmet, too, because it survived the explosion.
He put it back on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Didn't make sense. But my favorite.
He put it back on. Sorry.
Was that mocking me or someone else?
No, not you at all.
My favorite scene was something that Danae wrote. It was just a really simple, we are going to bring them down. They will not. The land is on our side. It is not.
Yeah.
It's so back good. To back.
So good.
I love that. Back to back. That's so good. And did you get that I was being rude with the very opening scene? And the emergency room?
I don't know. We got some weird hand gestures going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure what just happened. What are you saying?
The scanner thing that looks like a lightsaber.
I watched a very different episode of Star Wars Visions than you watched.
I insinuated it was something else.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, we've never done that in a video before.
No.
I'll have to check it out.
You watched Star Wars Transmissions.
Oh.
That was terrible.
This was one of my favorite visions, but I think it was because of the music. It was so, there's this beautiful ambient tone. Mm-hmm. And it did a good job of setting the mood. And it was really beautiful to see. And I'm definitely more a nature person than I am stars, you know, person in general. So there was like a nice little crossover, but it was too much nature. And I also was very, very, very confused as to why this young bride and the groom were so at peace with her like leaving and departing and being stolen away or whatever was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of confused. Like, in fact, I didn't know. I thought she was going to be married to this evil person. I didn't realize that she married the other guy. Like, I know they were dressed similarly and it was very ceremonial, but that could have been part of their tribe culture. So it took 2 or 3 watches and a blog reading, which is a sin, because it's like there should be. And then maybe it was there. Maybe there was enough clues that were there. There was the ritual, but that could have been like a cool like BFF ritual. Like, oh, we just unlocked the powers of our planet with love. Yeah.
They were protected by Magina.
But I did think it was a little difficult to write for this one for some reason. It just seemed like it, I don't know, it was a little odd.
Not a huge amount happens in it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's
a
very
simple
slow
story.
Yeah, it's definitely not, it's one of my top favorites, but I don't know, I really liked the first one, the style of that first episode.
Mm-hmm. His lightsaber is red.
Even though it's ridiculous, it was just a really beautiful animation. The animation here is beautiful as well, but I think the difference is the animation style is more simplistic and they really leaned into the atmosphere of what they were doing, which was cool. But yeah, I enjoyed just the simple drinking from the bottle sin. I don't even remember who wrote that one, but yeah, I like.
Oh, that was you.
Oh, that's probably why I like it so much.
Why you like it so much? You are the best. I will leave.
I always like it too when the delivery of the sin is really clear from the show, and then we just have to say cliche because we don't get to do that every time.
Right.
And it's when the lead-in really works that you can just say the word cliche, and this one had that one on the nose.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
I don't think this is my favorite episode.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's
but I do like it. I do think it is beautiful. I think this whole series has that thing where it's like style over substance in so many different ways.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. I had to mention the high heels sin, high heels in battle, high heels when running, high heels on any occasion, love hammer toes.
Yeah, Danae shifted that because what did I think I put love Danae specifically, and then she changed it because she doesn't think
I love the hammer toes thing. It's hilarious. And then the adding rocks into the water is not how you make a path for fish. Yeah.
That was such a confusing decision.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so true. Yeah. It's just like,
and then you're
what
just
are
like,
you saying?
And then you're kids.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Jonathan, what about you?
It's fine. I haven't really cared much for this series in general, but I mean, I guess this was as good as it's been. I might prefer the first one too.
Yeah, I like the I like that one. I know my least favorite.
Oh yeah, the rock band. That was terrible.
That's my least favorite. And Twins was interesting too, because they really had this fucking awesome epic battle scene. Mm-hmm. Like the Twins battle scene was really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Made no sense, but really fun to watch.
So over the top.
It was insane.
Yeah.
But in a really great like anime way.
Oh yeah, totally.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, over the top.
But yeah, I don't, the series altogether is kind of confusing to me.
As far as sins, I like the line in the show is, we can't have a bride with dirty feet. And then the sin was, may I be so bold as to recommend shoes? And then I assume this was Danae. It felt Danae that, don't fucking stand up. Why is he standing up? I thought it was very funny.
I think we both had something for that. But I was just outraged, because the first thing I thought was, well, why aren't they hitting him? I was like, why are you standing up?
Yeah.
You were doing great.
Oh, yeah, maybe that wasn't against them, now that I hear the high voice.
Yeah. The exclamation at the end of my sentences just means change octave up.
Yes, yes.
Well, if I see two exclamation points, I know it's
definitely
you.
It's two octaves at that point. So,
I have toned it down. I have gone to, like, I've even started to pick between question mark and exclamation mark, just because I don't think you should have both.
Wow, it seems like you're taking this very personally.
Is that like
if
me?
If it's an excitable question, you kind of have to have both, because you have to have the question mark.
But then sometimes the narrator chooses to ignore one of them.
That's true. And then in the editing phase, you take it all.
That's right. You tell them to pick up. That's how you do that. All right, let's move on to Dexter. We did the pilot because the new series has dropped.
Dexter New Blood? Sorry.
Yeah, Dexter New Blood, I think, is the new series. Watkins and Whittington writing on this one. This was the WW script.
Nice.
So, Ian.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you kick us off?
We have a what would. And then if we just do it like a D or an A for you, Aaron, do, and we get the D for Danae, like we have the like the WWJD bracelet almost.
Okay. Sorry. Fair enough. I mean, J is Jonathan. You know,
yeah. But if it, but he's the W for Watkins.
Oh, that's true. It was so close.
Anyway, sorry. Mm. Go on. We're here to do a show.
Ian, what is your experience with Dexter? What was your experience with this script? Like,
yeah, no, I watched, I remember watching this when it came out, roughly. I watched like the first two seasons, and I remember it lost me when, spoiler, Dexter starts shenanigans with his, not biological sister, but...
But sister nonetheless.
Sister.
That was way later in the series. You must have watched a lot of seasons.
Oh, I must have done. I must have watched way more than I thought. Yeah. I thought that was quite early on.
Okay. No, I didn't get... Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah, I didn't like that. But I love the first season of this show. It is so, so good. And it was so original. I always remember like there being a lack of score to it. Like, you're so much inside Dexter's head and how he sees the world. And I kind of relate to how he sees the world. I haven't murdered anybody yet.
Wait. Hold on.
It's just very practical. Just very... Why are these people being so emotional? They should stop being so emotional.
Text my husband real quick, like, so glad Ian is staying with Aaron. We made the right call. Okay.
Hide the dogs. But yeah, it was fun. I think my favorite thing to sin was, I like to imagine that Microsoft had like a product placement deal that just went south, but the Dexter people ran with it anyway and said, great, but all your products are going to be 10 years old. They're going to be out of date.
Yeah, something.
Something happened there, because all of them were like from the same 18 months of each other. They all It was weird. It was like he'd moved into someone else's apartment. I love Jonathan's Free the Peen. Free the Peen.
That was probably an Aaron Danae inspired son.
But it's like, we're fine to show all of this blood and gore, but... We're gonna draw the line.
It was just that was just completely wrapped. Like the rest of his body is barren, and then that. But of course, now he is strapping him down. So I mean, barely. I guess you could say that's just part of where he's strapping him. But I mean, it's clearly they didn't want to show penis.
Yeah, the power of his penis was so strong. And public displays of erection was. I hated myself for not getting that. I was like, well, of course, that's what that is. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
No, I love the show. It was fun. It was really fun. I love doing older shows. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a good bit of nostalgia.
Jonathan?
I watched the show for a little bit. It's hard to do a show like this, right? Because if your protagonist is a serial killer, or your main character is a serial killer, I mean, he is basically the protagonist. I mean, that's a tough line to fiddle with. I think the show did a pretty good job for a few seasons. I know I watched the first four seasons, because the fourth season was John Lithgow. And that's probably my favorite season of the show.
As it should be.
Yeah, I mean, John Lithgow is just insanely good as the Trinity Killer. And then I think I tail. I think it was like the next season. I watched like the first few episodes and then I was just done. I don't remember why I was done, but I was just done. I just didn't want to watch it anymore. Maybe we quit getting Showtime. I don't know. Something happened. And I've never gone back and picked up because I've always heard such.
It's terrible. That last season is so
bad. I've heard the last couple seasons. Yeah, it just gets so bad. Yeah, I think I am going to check out the new one. I haven't yet, but I am. I do have the intention of at least seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I did really like those first few seasons, and I had read a couple of the books that they're based on, the Jeff Lindsay novels, and so I was into it for a minute, but yeah, it just got to be where I was just like, you know, I'm not into this anymore. I liked the just the Dexteration, and then after that, it was like every damn pilot.
So I was just getting to the point where I've written plenty of scripts now, and I'm just like, wow, we really are sending the same stuff. Like every TV show pretty much does this same stuff. Just narration is such an easy crutch to fall.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And then I liked also pulling from Aaron and Danae's heads. Probably was the calling Deborah the real monster of the series because she only ate part of a donut.
I felt personally attacked on
that
one.
And throws it back in the box.
I literally wrote that one down. Like, I feel personally attacked right now.
Yeah.
That's
and it's the needless F as well, isn't it? It's like, that's a nice fucking donut that I'm not going to eat.
Based on the shaving sin, I think, Ian, you just need to go to a barber from now on and just let them do it. If that's what your face looks like. If that was
this
true.
This is why I don't shave.
And I love that Ian has introduced me to the term chuckle fucks. I think that's another. There you go.
I've used that.
And I just realized I did not write notes for music videos because I see that's blank. Oh, great. So we'll talk about that in a minute.
You have time right now.
Pull a Danae, and while we talk, just quickly go in there.
Or just talk about last week's video. Like, yeah, that's what I do when I haven't prepared.
That's why this show is amazing, guys. Because everybody just does what works for them.
Yeah. I hope I gave you an editing point there. Sorry. I just noticed that, and I just kind of said my thoughts.
It's okay.
I also really enjoyed Dexter. I think it came to it late. I think a lot of it has to do with the performances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, especially that central performance is, it's just really fascinating and interesting. And I don't think it makes much sense on a human psychological level that he's both a sociopath and also somehow able to delineate, good from bad and those kind of because one of the key things about a sociopath is that morality isn't often something that's.
But it is interesting. I don't know. I mean, I guess we can spoil a series that's been off this long, right? Because I'd remember though in the second season. I think it's second season where he kills Doakes, who's not a bad guy. I mean, he's not. He's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
But I just remember that being where the show. See, and I think that's kind of what I liked about the show early on was that it was willing to kind of toy with that. Like, he would save his own ass too. Like, he would, you know, if he had to. But anyways.
But it just needed him to be a quote unquote good character too much. But it was terrible at the end, and I was really disappointed. I liked the any sentence you can use to defend why you had to have just one more delicious cream-filled Twinkie cannot also be used to defend murdering children. Such a great point. Mm. Not simply calling this company Miami Ice. Thank you. So very good. So very, very good. Danae, what about you?
I was told to watch Dexter late as well. Everything had already wrapped. There was no more Dexters being made. I want to say it's been in the last 5 years that I watched my first episode of Dexter, and it was literally just, you know, this is one of those ones you're supposed to watch because it was groundbreaking for various reasons. And I think I was curious about it because everyone said it got so bad, and I'm like, well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does this train wreck actually feel like? And I think I started watching it with the intention of just binging all 8. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember if I did or I just watched the first season, maybe 2 seasons or something. Like, I binged them and then jumped to the end to see what it was, which was so not interesting that I don't remember how I felt about it. So I don't remember.
Sounds like everyone that watched Dexter.
I don't remember. I don't remember what happened. I don't remember plot points. You took like the sin that kind of references him having feelings or something towards his sister character. I don't remember that at all, which means I was an autopilot binging, which means that this doesn't really have any. I don't remember what this has except for that interesting perspective of what happens if a really bad person does really bad things to really bad people. Mm. That kind of approach to creating content, like, we don't want to root for someone killing people, but if we do, this is sort of how we could do it.
Right.
Sort of a vibe.
It's a serial killer killing other serial killers. Yeah. It's an interesting concept.
It is an interesting concept. And I think that's why you watch and you realize that they've cleverly folded in like just a new way to do a CSI kind of style show where every week you feature another serial killer or another killer, another something, a murder that's happened. And in some procedurals, you are rooting for the police or you're rooting for the justice system. And in this case, you're rooting for murder. So it's just like it's just an interesting kind of one. But I did like the Sin, though, that pointed out that Dexter is going to like inform that he's incapable of feeling emotion. But here in this pilot episode, he was very emotional. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting thing that if I was to watch it again, I would be looking for those interesting points to go, is he acting?
I still don't get that.
Yeah,
because
that was Ian, and I read that, and I was like, oh, that's a very good point. Like, that did not come to me.
Yeah, who's he trying to convince here? It's just him and the murderer. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that it didn't fit. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Another one that I really enjoyed, this, we've done this Sin before, and it continues to be one of my favorites, is when the narrator just has a slur of words that are bleeped. But in this case, something different was done where the entire word wasn't bleeped. It kind of cut in these sort of jarring ways where you're hearing the tiniest bits of, and it was a really delightful teaser where your brain is trying to immediately, whether you want it to or not, piece together what the actual word was. And it was such a clever way of just changing it a little bit. Because usually like, we don't want to beep, and there was a beep, 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 but this was like beep, 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 beep. It kind of cut in more Morse code. Like, it was really neat. So, well done.
Well, I have that in my keeping tabs. So,
okay.
Nice.
Perfect.
So, yes, we will talk more about that for sure. I think that's all of us. I think we can move on to music video sins.
Some of us can.
I've watched the video. I worked on the edit. So, I reviewed
Jamie
the edit.
Jamie Foxx, Blame It on the Alcohol. This is an old song, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watched this and I was like, I didn't think Jamie Foxx was making new music right now. No. But yeah.
No, this is the, I always be known to me as the video where Ron Howard is a clubber. Like, I just, I still remember seeing this video like for the first time and seeing everybody get out of the car and then it's Ron Howard.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, totally. Danae, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, whatever, blah, 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 blah. That's how I felt.
I think it's fair. I think it's a very solid review.
I enjoyed it, but My favorite kind of moment is the masked singer Sin at the end, because just like the hot as hell kind of just pulling all that together. But there were several moments that I like really enjoyed this script and was having, you know, my normal experience with MVS. But the song, songs like this,
it's hard to engage with them, right?
I'm totally
with you.
I hit the autopilot button, so.
The masked singer thing was hilarious, though. I will talk about that because Barrett didn't know this. And so, because I even told him, I was like, dude, that masked singer thing was hilarious. And I was like, and it's even funnier. And you probably don't even know why, because they have guessed Jamie Foxx like so many times on that show. There was even at one point they had basically the equivalent of a swear jar. So anytime someone guessed
Jamie Foxx,
they would have to throw something in there. Jamie Foxx has even been a guest judge on there. So I mean,
funny.
Yeah.
That's really great.
So, I mean, I don't know how many people watching that also watch Masked Singer, but I just told, I was like, you ended up actually having a really interesting connection there you didn't even realize. Yeah. So
accidental genius.
Yep. Let's see. Jonathan, why don't you go next?
Well, I forgot to write the sins down, but I will say I really enjoyed the video. I mean, I watched it a couple times because I had to review the edit, and I just the stuff making jokes about Ron Howard and like little Jake Gyllenhaal driving the car, who I'd forgotten he was part of it. I mean, I guess he's not little, but he's younger.
He's big in the news right now because of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, like, that's true. That's
like
true.
All over my newsfeed.
That's why Barrett did
this,
right?
What's that?
Is that a thing?
She just released like a 10-minute song about their relationship. I mean, it's not like explicitly, but it's very clear that that's the relationship she's talking about. So.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And I'm like you guys. I mean, the song is just kind of a non-starter for me. There's nothing about it that interests me. And I mean, I don't know that I hate it or anything. Like if it was on, I would be like, okay, this is on in the background. Mm-hmm. But Like, I definitely wouldn't go to it. My wife actually really liked, I think she had an album of his, or she just had a bunch of songs downloaded, because I know she had, but I don't think this is one of the ones she liked. But he does have some music that's better than this, I will say. And he's a good singer. He's a very talented guy. But, yeah. You know, I mean, you knew that from, like, the In Living Color days. But,
In Living Color.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's just, it's not a good song. It's a video that needed to be done. I'm glad Barrett finally did it, so...
Yeah. It was
he's
right
to
for
a
the
few
picking.
Of those like this and like we had Hello Kitty here last month or so, and it's I like when he goes back and does some of these that you know from 10-15 years ago. It's fun.
Yeah. Ian?
Yeah, I don't remember this song. Not yeah. even yeah, just I thought this could have come out last week. And I think the video references that it's old, but yeah, mm-hmm. I had no idea. It's
maybe
just
maybe he never hit it over in the UK. Maybe Jamie Foxx didn't sell albums over there.
I was gonna say I don't know if he hit it over here. I know he did actor wise, but yeah. Didn't quite make it, and it's just a naff song. It's just yay booze. Which yay booze, but don't need a big old song about it. But this is like such a wasted cast, like Forrest Whitaker, Jake Gyllenhaal, Ron Howard, Jamie Foxx. Like, there's so many people in it. It's like, mm-hmm. was this just an excuse for you guys to have fun, just
yes.
get together
yes.
and roll some cameras? And
of course,
yeah,
of course.
But exactly how, what, like, it is. What was that call to Ron Howard? And then Ron Howard's like, "Yeah, that's totally me. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's do it. I will absolutely
maybe that
fit
is
in.
Totally Ron Howard. I mean, I don't yeah. know. Good for mm-hmm. him. I mean, I have no idea what that dude does, but it just it didn't fit like in
yeah.
my mind.
No, yeah, not at all.
It's like Opie getting out of the car.
Yeah, it's definitely not who Ron Howard is in my head canon.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
they didn't lean into it either. Like, it was as if anybody else had turned up. It was like, oh yeah, it's Ron Howard. Ron effing Howard.
Yep.
The Dave Matthews Band reference was hilarious. That made me laugh. It was so good. so good. But my favorite one was, because it was one of these scenes where I knew it was going somewhere and I knew it was going to be funny, but I couldn't work out where. And it was how he's describing that this video reminds you of what it's like to be drunk. And then the narrator just starts heaving, just starts
yeah.
vomiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, this is what hype was going for.
Yep. Yeah.
That was perfect.
The only one that wasn't mentioned that I wanted to mention was the All This According to T-Pain.
all of this self-like proclamation
yeah,
of how great
T-Pain
is.
Amazing stuff, yeah. All of this according to, let me check my notes. Oh, T-Pain mentioned all this.
Stuff. Yes.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add about the song either. Let's move into CinemaSins. How have we not done Ghostbusters?
I thought we had.
Makes me feel
it's amazing. That's great. I love it that like after how you know 9 years or whatever it's been since the channel started.
I was actually thinking about asking Chris that because I was thinking like you know we didn't do this in 2016. You know when go I mean it's just interesting. You know, but I'm sure there was something else that week that just made more sense.
Sure.
But yeah.
But it's fun, right? It's fun to like throw it out there and everybody's like, oh wait, we haven't done this yet.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Someone on Instagram had the opposite reply. It was, you're a bit late, aren't you? I was like, yes, 35 years late, in fact.
But there is a Ghostbusters movie opening this week, so, you know.
Yeah,
that's
kind of why we did it.
Yeah. This was an Atkinson Share script. So, Ghostbusters. I don't think you can be my age and not have, like, that in you somewhere. Like, mm-hmm. For someone my age, it was just all everybody talked about at school in the mid-80s.
Halloween costumes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those movies. Now, the thing is, my parents thought it was a little too risque, so I didn't really...
Oh, no, it is.
I didn't really... I should say, backing up my parents here,
yeah.
Hey,
there's
mean,
a lot of crazy...
Bill Murray is
it pushes. It pushes PG as far as you... It would not be PG today.
No.
Yeah.
And it pushes that as far as it can.
Yeah.
I am right. It is PG, right?
I don't know.
I mean, it would be PG-13 today for sure.
Yeah, well, and that was the year that they decided to do PG-13 because that was the same year as Temple of Doom and Gremlins. So I'm pretty sure it was. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I just, you know, so it wasn't like Star Wars in my life where I could watch it on VHS every night. It was like it wasn't something I watched a lot, but it's still just inside you, just from culture, you know, just all those quotes. And this video does a great job at really pointing out those moments in this movie that have stood the test of time and taken off several worthwhile sins, you know, for
like back to back as well. That was that was really cool. It's a string of those.
Investigating the growling coming from your refrigerator. laughed at that one. This Ray dreams about this beautiful lady ghost who comes to him in the night to give him a BJ in a phantasmic orgasm. But why does she disappear? Anyways, I'm sure when Ray wakes up, he'll realize he had a White Dream.
Nice.
So very good. So very good. And then I had to mention the shout out to Bible quiz tournaments. Training for a Bible quiz tournament while on the clock. Amazing. Quizzers unite. All right. Jonathan, why don't you go second? What do you got?
This movie was a huge part of my childhood as far as movies go. I don't even know how many times I've seen this movie. It's one of those, it doesn't have to be on. Like I don't have to be looking at it. I can hear the dialogue, know exactly what's on the screen. You know, it's one of those movies. It's one of my all-time favorite comedies. It's just such a brilliantly written film, which I don't even know if that gets talked about enough. And Bill Murray, that might be like the all-time comedic performance. It's one of them. It's got to be in that conversation of what's the best performance in a comedy, and proof that the Oscars doesn't give a shit about comedies. Because Bill Murray should have been nominated for this easily, supporting best actor or whatever. Sure. Probably should have won. Because I don't even know. It's hard to explain, but it's just every line he gives. It's like 110%, and he's in that character, and it's just, and it could be it's just him. I mean, and I think how we've seen him outside of this, it kind of is him in some ways. So maybe that's why people don't give it as much credit.
Like some of it feels ad-libbed. And the flowers are still
I will
standing.
Say, I have a copy of the script, and from what I remember, a lot of that is in the script. Mm. But I don't know how much he helped with that, and that kind of thing. But it's pretty interesting. It's an interesting movie too, because the special effects in it, I know a lot of people talk about the special effects in it today. Special effects were not good in 84 either, but this was a movie that was really rushed. As soon as they got it going, they gave them a date. And I think it was less than a year. They had to make this in 10 months or something. Mm-hmm. So that has a lot to do with that. So I find that pretty easy to forgive. And I still think it's fun. I think the way they interact with everything, I think, is a lot of fun, but it's so funny.
The effects are
so
unique.
It's so funny.
I think that's why they still hold up.
Yeah, because nothing looks like them. Ghostbusters. Any movie that was on that level of production probably had something better, but it was a little too high for lower end stuff. So it's kind of its own. It's kind of its own middle ground.
That still holds up. The proton beam effect.
There's obvious matte paintings and stuff like that. The demon dogs look ridiculous. Every time they move.
Weird things. Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff like that. But and I've heard commentary on this, and Reitman talks about if he could go back and redo something, it would definitely be that, stuff like that. But and I just love the joy coming out of everybody involved with the script. Mm-hmm. This is one of those where if you don't think we're funny, fine, I don't care. But if you want to say we don't like movies, go watch this video. Because even in the sins where we're giving an actual sin, it's still there's just so much love there you can feel. There's that one, I think it's when Winston says if you get asked if you're a god line, and it's just Jeremy's just kind of mm-hmm. and then it just the sins, go off. I loved all that. I like that they send, we don't know what happened to the librarian between her getting scared and lying down.
Mm-hmm.
That's always bugged me. I've always been what was the in between here? Jaywalking. I thought we were supposed to like Dana, but she is clearly a serial criminal. Remember how hilarious casual sex harassment was back in the 80s?
I had that one written down.
Yeah.
And then I just loved the... I think the send off on that one was, God, this movie is so fucking great. I think that's what it was. Mm. I just like when the narrator is just like, there has to be a better way to possess humans than what we just saw. He's so matter of fact.
Right.
We
haven't made it to 1984. Yeah.
But this is
how we do it.
Probably one of my favorite videos. It was so much fun. That's what I'm saying. I like when we do the movies that I love. It's a lot more fun for me.
I think
me.
I can tell when someone writes on the script who has that passion for the content, because there were several of them where you can just, I don't know, maybe it's just because I've been doing this for a little while, but I can tell when someone has a really good understanding of the content that's being sinned, and you're just pulling from this, I have had this question for so long.
I have been
long,
waiting. This
and
is my time.
Here is my moment to finally ask, what happened to the fucking librarian? Which I thought was really great. So as I was watching this video, it was this nostalgia bombs that were coming in, because I know I've seen this movie at least in parts, but I don't remember sitting down and watching it. No one's surprised by that. And then this really fun script that I really, really enjoyed. But this for me, so my Ghostbusters experience was merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just this everything was Ghostbusters for a long time. It felt like all the toys, and then slime became a thing, which is why one of my favorite sins was the when he got slimed, mm-hmm. and the sin is like that it inspired Nickelodeon for content for the next 40 years. It's like everything was slime after that. There was
It still is a thing. Kids make it all the time, like at our house and stuff. Oh, it's awful.
And they do this thing in the movie too, which I think having not seen it as an adult, and if I did see it when I was too young to understand the context of the sins that were occurring that are inappropriate or, you know, not PG-13 right. or whatever. Like this, they do this with everything, but they made Slimer so cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you watch the movie and he is, but there's like also just some scary shit going on. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, when they draw you into a movie and then you're like, whoa, that was way more than I bargained for. It would be like if they made Beetlejuice, like really cute and adorable, and you go and you watch Beetlejuice and they're just peeling their faces off and it's just this claymation
insanity.
The Beetlejuice
cartoon is way softer, and then you watch the movie and you're like,
holy shit.
That's a good sin too, the Slimer thing. I love, because I love that Chris and Barrett are acknowledging that he wasn't even called Slimer. Like
no,
in the movie,
that was
because he became popular after that. It just became a popular toy stuff, so they put him in the cartoon.
Yeah, I don't think he was named in the film at all.
Really?
No.
That's surprising. I guess it makes sense.
I think
like
the last season or two of the Real Ghostbusters, or maybe it was even a spinoff cartoon, was called Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters or something like that.
That's so interesting. I guess you just have this weird, and I don't mind the really bad like effects.
Yeah.
Mostly because I just love to see how effects have changed over the years, and then you watch one. It's the cloud structure reminded me of Neverending Story,
yes.
like the nothingness. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, or Flash Gordon. It was very that. So it's just neat to see that.
I think another thing. I'm sorry, I don't mean to go up, but another thing about this movie I love so much is just how they use New York so well. And Dan Aykroyd, actually saw him the other night on a talk show. He was talking about this, that they actually didn't have a lot of permits and stuff. They just started shooting in a lot of areas. And so like that scene where they're talking about the real estate, which that scene is in, that they're talking about taking out the mortgage, all those people around them, those are just New Yorkers that are walking around.
That's
just
amazing.
In the middle, and they weren't even paying attention to them because it's New York. They don't care, you know. There's somebody with a camera shooting some people talking about mortgages, whatever. So those are actual
Wednesday.
Just citizens, just, and they're, you know, hey, I'm in a movie now. It's crazy.
Ian.
Yeah, Ghostbusters is my happy place. That's, yeah. Recently rewatched them for another show, and it was great. I wish that Bill Murray was just like maybe just 99.5% less aggressively sexist and creepy. Like the opening scene when he's doing the, like, he's shocking your man, and then just not showing the cards. And it is exclusively to seduce this young lady. It is. That's an interesting way to open your film and to make that, because he's meant to be the hero.
Like, this is the endearing quality you want to stand out for this character.
I mean, it definitely is a group, but he's definitely the one that gets the most time.
And they get together, and it's like,
oh, him and Sigourney Weaver. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, really, that didn't.
They have a kid.
Yeah. Well, no.
Oh, that's not his kid.
No,
Ghostbusters 2?
It's the orchestra guy that she goes off it's his. So they get married and divorced off screen.
I haven't seen Ghostbusters 2 in a long time.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of that movie.
It just hits a big old reset button. And I'll fight people that say it's better. It's not. It's fine, but it's not better. But this film's great. I still got an Ecto-1 at home with the doors on it, and the trap ejects from the trunk of the car and it flies out, and then it would eject slime or something, and the little siren on the top goes it's so good. I love that sound so much.
This is when I wish we had a visual podcast, because
I did all the actions there.
The joy that Ian had on his face as describing a toy car setup.
It's mine. So I will watch every single trailer for however many Ghostbusters films they want to make, because you will always get the glory shot of Ecto-1 spinning round a corner. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Happy place. The scenes I really liked was, I just have a thing for arrows, reading, and the entire screen is just like, you're in a library, so how many arrows do we want on this?
Right.
All of them, please. Every spare arrow that you have.
Harkening back to the guy with the cat covering himself.
Oh man, it was so good.
It's just, there's nothing
so good. I was so happy. Yep. Just me and Janae losing it. And I, man, this was dark. This is one of those where I'd have been like, I don't know if I would have included this. I see the Ghostbusters and the NYPD have something in common.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was good. That was good. That was dark. Yeah. No, great video. I love the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of those where you just like, okay, the joke has to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because the accuracy of the, you know, the target.
Mm-hmm. What was the line again?
Well, it was just that they just turned and shot without.
That's right.
It
that's
was a
right.
lady with a cart.
Yeah, that's right. And then they turn and shoot. Yeah.
It's immediately.
Yeah. The one in the hotel, the that's lady. It. The hell are you shooting at, or whatever she says.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one.
I was like, I wonder where they're gonna go with. Oh, okay, cool, nice.
Yeah, that was Ghostbusters. On to In the Heights. This was a Cardoso Dicer script. Daniel and I writing on this one. This is Lin-Manuel's. I think it was his first real hit on Broadway, right? In the Heights.
I think
was
so. Yes,
on Broadway. Did really well. That's kind of how he got discovered. That's, you know, he spun that into Hamilton, which is where obviously he just completely skyrocketed.
Yeah, so good.
The stratosphere. So we're taking a look at In the Heights. There's also a Lin-Manuel Miranda movie coming out. His directorial debut is coming out here this week as well. There were a couple things in watching. I should say this. I loved this movie. Still love this movie. But I loved it so much the first time I watched it, I immediately watched it again. Which is
that's
really fun.
You.
That's a fun thing when stuff's coming out day and date and streaming. Mm. Is like, oh yeah, I can just push play again and watch this amazing experience I had. I'm a sucker for musicals. People know this. I love a good musical.
Yeah, but still, that's a really good sign if you want to immediately consume
it. Because I don't know
again.
That I've ever done that. Maybe when
I know,
I was
I'm trying
kid.
To think.
I very rarely do. Yeah. Like,
I do it with music.
You don't rewatch anything.
That's a small thing. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I very rarely rewatch stuff.
It's almost like, if it's music, you're trying to like pick out lyrics or you want to hear the hook again or you want to hear the build up again.
That's what it is with a musical,
and
too. It's like, I want to see, because these scenes are so vast and epic and there's dancers all over. Like, it's, you know, I just want to take it all in again and see new stuff and that kind of thing. Plus, the movie does have a story turn that makes, you know, watching it again kind of rewarding in that way that movies that have a story turn can be. You know, you kind of notice other things and different things. So I do really, really love this movie. I will say, in sitting it, there are a couple things that stood out to me. One is the key relationship in this movie is so unearned. Like, it is just a person pining for another person. They have half of a lousy date and all of a sudden we're supposed to be like totally invested in them as a couple. And it's just like your first date, you basically just like trolled each other.
Yeah.
And it's,
you know, what's so strange for me watching anything where they just have the two leads on screen and we as an audience instinctively like, those are the people that we're rooting for. Mm-hmm. And you just forget to ask questions like, but why? What is the connection between you? And there are some movies where they work on the tension the whole time, or they work on their issues the whole time, and you can kind of see the resolution of a conflict resolution situation. You can kind of like buy into the more long-term relationship idea. But those seem to be themes that are really fresh and new and now. What was the movie that came? There was a movie that came out. It was all about like the divorce process and just working through and realizing
marriage story.
Yeah, and just like that tension of this isn't going somewhere. Like, we are in a bad pattern. This is going in a different direction. And then you have other movies that just will sit inside relationships for a little bit longer. But it's just so strange how instantly we see two people on the screen, wherever it is, and it's like, that's what I want. I want those two together.
Right.
With no context.
I know
context.
Nothing about them, but they should be together forever.
Yeah. Just like in Ghostbusters with Sigourney Weaver's character. And like, but why? What is it that they're just good chemistry because they're great actors? That's potentially part of it. But then if the story itself is just like, we have two pretty people to look at, so pretty people are going to go together.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Well, and we've been taught to especially honor the idea of, oh, I see that person, I'm going to make them mine. You know, that whole like, you know, kind of like pursuit thing that happens. And so as an audience, you know, if they are smitten, that you want them to win. You know, you want them to get the girl or the guy or whatever. Mm. So I did notice that a little bit more. Also, the lottery ticket thing is absolutely ridiculous. Like, just the when you really start to think about that decision that she made to hide that lottery, just write on Fort Usnavi on it and just hide it. Like, what are you, why?
It's a gamble.
Why are you waiting? Why are you like, what is the motivation? Why did you think that would work? All that kind of stuff. So that was noticeable as well. The dominoes, it was fun to find a freeze frame, like huge mistake like that. I did notice second time watching it through, it's not just the one on the spinner, it's the next one in that line
loads.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but yeah, it was just like somebody didn't really care about mm-hmm. the dominoes. And then this is very much an Aaron thing, and I apologize, but just going off on ignore anyone who doubts you is just one of those things where it's like, it's that thing we do where it's like, hey, maybe you want to think about that a little bit more. The idea of
sometimes
it's okay that people doubt you and you should maybe pay attention and yep. just be like, no, that's not something. We all know what the movie means. We all understand, you know, but at the same time, it's...
But.
If we're going to be didactic about it, that is something to take into account. So.
Mm-hmm.
Danae, what about you?
I've never seen this. This is one of those where I wanted to sit down and ask more questions and have a conversation about, like, what is it? Because musicals are difficult.
Well, I'm here. I'm here to answer.
Musicals are difficult for multiple reasons. Now that we don't play the music, the context of the movie mm-hmm. is the sin itself.
Well, there was one. The one, and I think it actually works all right, but the one I was most sad about was where she literally in the song goes, no, 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 no. Like, it's like all these, and then the sin is just, no.
No.
But instead, I had to say, you know, she says no 28 times, and my response to that is,
right.
You know, so you have to kind of figure out different ways to.
Yeah, you have to describe what you're experiencing, whether it's lyrically or sometimes even visually, depending on the lead in, because music is just such a hot spot. We don't want to play music that will not allow us to show you guys our fun content. We still want to entertain you without it. We want to show you what we're working on. And so the risk of playing music is just too high. But when you're sending a musical and you're watching a Sins video and you're trying to piece together what the musical is about based on the Sins, based on the music that you can't play, it was one of those where I'm watching it and I'm like,
what do you think happened? See, that's the fun game for me is, what does Danae think this movie is about?
Listen, I checked out. I started doodling.
Can confirm.
Yeah. I was like, okay. So it sucks in a way, but I love musicals. But I still haven't seen La La Land, and I feel like this can't usurp La La Land in my queue.
Yeah, you should check La La Land out sometime.
If I have a queue, then it's La La Land comes first.
I like that the queue itself is in question.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm not committing to a queue of movies that I'm going to watch.
I did like the rant about 5:30 in the morning.
Yes.
I
have a little bit about that.
That's amazing.
I really enjoyed the sin where there's calling into question the yoga poses mixed with leg waxing.
Uh-huh.
Because I just felt like that would be something that I would spot in the background. And immediately I was like, what is happening back there? And I didn't even realize that there was leg waxing happening. Mm-hmm. But it's a very great question. Paired really quickly with this scene does contain a lap dance, which is a fun way to bring back an oldie but a goldie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was a gossip scene I really enjoyed. And there was a delivery of the word geez I just really loved. And
it's one of my favorite sins.
How emphatic he was about it.
I wrote in the note for the narrator, I wrote, the narrator is unreasonably angry about this. Like, it is clear that this isn't a big deal. So this is the sin where she's hiding his eyes and taking him in. And she just seemed to me to be so, like, angry at him for, like, peeking, even though he wasn't peeking.
And it's just like, geez. Yeah. Just like this, like, the way that he delivers that one was delightful. So, how we end a script is something we think about. Like, actually, I cut some sins at the end of a script recently just because I really wanted to end it on a punch, even though there was good content. And that's always difficult. But I thought ending this one with a Hamilton sin was really delightful choice.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Ian.
Oh, I don't know what's going on in this movie. I really don't. So I haven't seen it. It's on my list, quite high up on the list to watch. But
do you like musicals?
I do not, but that has been changing recently. What did I watch that I enjoy? Hamilton, really enjoyed it. Like, I passionately don't like musicals, but Hamilton turned me around recently. Dear Evan Hausch?
Evan Hansen.
Hansen. Man, that hit me. I know it's come under fire for, like, some stuff, but yeah, for some reason that caught me on a day and I really enjoyed it. But I think I'll enjoy this. I think
so, man. I don't know what to tell people who don't enjoy musicals, usually, like, it's not my job to, you know, figure out how to make people enjoy musicals. But for me, there's just something music can do if you give yourself to, like, the suspension of disbelief of it, where it's like the emotion just elevates in song sometimes.
I think my problem is that there seems to be so many filler songs, and it seems to be, is this actually progressing the story, or was this just a chance to be lyrically acrobatical? I love it when the music actually moves along the story, then I can I can get on board with it a bit more. But yeah, no, couldn't follow the video. Love the synths, but I assume this is something about two people being in love that win the lottery, and then there's somebody talking to kids on a boat, but they're not on a boat.
Well, that's good. I mean, really, there's nothing much else to it.
Cool. Good job, Ian.
You got the whole thing. Well done, nice. Ian. You don't need to check it out.
Two and a half hours.
Done.
Excellent. But some of these sins, I there is something about when you and Daniel are on a script that it becomes biblical. Like, the length of some of these sins are fantastic.
And they're like the intellectual, they just start to get really intellectual about it.
Like, without offending anybody in the room, I think it's the two most intelligent people, like, just writing a script together. It's so good. It's so good.
I mean, most of that is Daniel, honestly. Like,
his mind
works in some really palace. Interesting ways. Yeah.
But did he do the alarm clock, or was that you?
The alarm clock was me.
Yeah,
the
like that went off. I love it. I'm not quite brave enough to just go off randomly. I did it with, no, that video hasn't come out yet, but just going off really randomly. Like, we're not really sinning anything in the movie here, but we're going to make the sin 5 minutes long, so that that allows you to do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, the fun I had with that one was the turn at the end where, you know, we're pretending to have a back and forth conversation with the audience, right? Where the narrator is like, well, then you'll say, and then I'll say, and then, and they're all kind of fun, valid, little bit valid things that kind of apply to the sin. And at the end of there is like, and then I'll be like, why are we even talking about this when the sin is leaving your blinds open at night, you know?
So. You end up sinning yourself. I love it. The gradually building music that cuts the narrator off. The narrator's like, quick, move on, quick.
Yeah, that was Daniel.
That was nicely done. I like messing around with stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I have to mention Domestic Vinylance, because I know how much that meant to Mr. Dicer.
Oh, yes.
I love it. Domestic Vinylance.
It was just right there. It's the great. Universe had presented it. Mm-hmm. It was right there.
Love it.
Jonathan, what about you?
I love musicals. I liked this movie. I don't think I loved it. I think the Usnavi, is it Jessica? Is that her name in the movie? I think that relationship took it down more for me than it did for you.
Yeah.
Especially that you talk about that date. I remember when we reviewed this on a mini pod, I was talking about that the confrontation that gets created between them is such BS. Like, it's silliest total, thing.
It's the stupidest, and it's most like, contrived. Yeah.
It's like one of those things where it's just like, you know, not every romantic comedy or whatever has to have this moment where the two people don't get along for a second. Right. Like, that just always feels so contrived to me, unless it just is supernatural. And it definitely didn't feel natural here, because it was just like he let her dance with somebody. And then, like, they couldn't hear each other, and it just, none of it made any sense. Right. Like, it didn't feel like something that would blow up the way it did.
And then the blackout happens.
Yeah.
And then they have this moment in the movie where they're supposed to reconcile.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there going, what are we reconciling? You have had nothing. There's, like, you are not a couple. You literally had half a date where you, like, hated each other. Like,
it's kind of took me out of it. But I did like it, and I really like, we didn't even talk about, like, I love Corey Hawkins in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's so good, and his relationship with the woman playing Jimmy Smith's daughter is really fun. That's actually a more interesting relationship. But anyways, it's fine. Like, I like it. It's definitely worth a watch if you have any interest. Did somebody mention scratching your manhole cover?
No.
Oh, no, but I did when I watched it.
I love that pause. There's where you need the ellipses.
Yes.
That was perfect.
Exactly. So good.
Pricing your cousin the same as the canned beans. I haven't seen someone dispense with cream as quickly since Eric Clapton. And then I did have the scene, does contain a lap dance. I thought that was hilarious. But choosing the stairway to heaven instead of the ramp, I thought was a good turn of phrase. So.
Yeah,
that's so good.
Well, the lead in on that one where you're just watching it and you're like, okay, what's going to happen?
Oh. Yeah, that's the one.
It was just an honest thought. I was just like, why is she taking the stairs? Like, there's a ramp right there, abuela. Like,
gotta get that last bit of cardio in.
And then, of course, you know, the stairway to heaven thing hit me, and I was like, oh, so this has to be said.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That is In the Heights. The only thing that wasn't mentioned I would mention are the sentient wigs, which is one of those. It's weird for me in musicals when the suspension of disbelief just goes a little bit too far for me.
You're and fine with them spontaneously
singing.
I'm fine
with everybody spontaneously breaking into song, but quit having the wigs react. Like, that's not real. Come on.
These guys.
All right, let's move into keeping tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my... every time I talk, wow. Is this how Aaron feels when we're okay? We're gonna try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So, go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're just going to take a look at something from putting together the content for the week. I have mentioned a couple of mine, so I'll go first since I already mentioned them. The sunrise thing was something I researched so thoroughly, and that is where the sin came from, was the research, because I would find one thing and I'd be like, oh, but it could be this, and then I'd be like, no, it couldn't be that. And so, yes, the earliest the sun rises in New York City is, I think, first week in June at 5:24 is when, you know, the sun starts to rise. So that still really seemed too bright for me for 5:30. Like, it just didn't seem like...
You still have, like, the pink sky. And,
Just all that tip. Stuff. Yeah, so... So the other thing was, this movie doesn't... It gives a couple dates, but nowhere where you can really locate where we are at the beginning of this movie. So I wasn't even able to go, okay, we're actually in July, and the sun doesn't, you know, raise until a certain point. Or we're in May, and it's, you know... So it could have been June. So, yeah, it was just kind of that... It was a real hunt, you know, to find out if there's something here, if it's argumentative. And then at the end of the day, I'm going, well, this is argumentative
enough. Oh, yes.
That I have to completely, yes. You know, flip
the end.
And
then at what point is like, so. I have now 2 hours of research in. This is going to be a
this
sin.
This will be something.
I have
will
to do make this something. Yeah.
That's always it. This movie's due today. Crap. I gotta get going.
And then the other thing was in Dexter with the insert whatever words you want to. You guys have told me before that you were curious in that. So I did write it down this time. I also did put in parentheses the words I thought they could leave unbleeped. Like you were talking about how they, you know, chose to bleep certain. So like I put in parentheses like the, you know, it's like bleep bleep who should bleep the bleep out of a bleep with a bleep bleep, right? That's kind of how it went. So what I said was night flying hamster baiter who should lick the shampoo out of a gutter hole with a giraffe tongue.
Oh, that is amazing.
That is actually what was
that
said there.
Wow.
So
was that just pure Aaron imagination?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. That makes it even better.
That didn't come from anywhere but the depths of my... There was this one time where I had to lick the shampoo out of a gutter hole.
I was thinking you went to like a Mad Libs and just like fucked it up badly.
No. I just was like...
Those things will never stop being funny to me.
They're great.
It's almost a cheat because it's just beep, 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 beep.
But it's so good. In the right spot.
Yes.
In the right spot, it's like, this is it. This is the perfect one.
Absolutely. Jonathan, what about you?
I don't really have anything that much. I only did Dexter this week and what we talked about. And, I felt weird Googling, like, you know, how somebody kills somebody or something like that. So, you know,
yeah, if you word it like that,
I didn't want to be right on the FBI.
Right.
I did try to look up though, cause there's this long scene where they're in a briefing, and we ended up using Ian had a sin about like them just shutting Deborah down really quick and not letting her. But I don't know, for some reason I was just Googled. I was just curious, like, how does a briefing usually go? Cause there was something about it that just, I don't know, was rubbing me the wrong way, but I didn't really find anything. But I did end up, because I thought I was going to find something, I read this entire like lesson plan on how to teach police officers how to do a briefing.
Oh, nice. She skipped that course.
So I learned how to do a briefing.
Nice.
But,
that's exciting.
Actual education.
Can you do that? Actually, can you do it now?
No. Okay. I didn't actually find... Yeah, I took notes. I've got it all written down.
Yeah.
I didn't actually find anything that was helpful, but I did. It was just funny. But like, I was sort of reading it. Like, oh, maybe there'll be something down later. But then I realized about halfway through, oh, this is like a lesson. Like, this is like somebody trying to teach me how to, you know, the important steps of conducting a police
briefing. I'm accidentally learning. I must stop this immediately.
But I did look at that. I was trying to figure out too about like the way he did the blood splatter and stuff at the crime scene, and then that just got creepy, so I quit looking at that. And then
I did the same, disappointingly. Is how they do it. They do
I couldn't find that, and then I don't know, just sort of weirded me out, like just like the idea of being like, I don't even know how you take that job, like that's your focus is blood splatter. Uh-huh. Too. Yeah, you know? So specific. Well, that was the other thing I was looking up, because I was curious if that was even a thing, because sometimes like they'll kind of create a job, like for instance like Tom Hanks and those like a symbiologist, which is what Dan Brown's character is in the Da Vinci Code and stuff. Right. Like, that doesn't exist. Like, that's not a thing. Like, there's, you know, I mean, like, there are people that teach symbols, but they would just be in, you know, broader.
Yeah, they're not Indiana Jones.
No. And, you know, so I thought maybe the blood splatter thing was too specific, but no, there actually are. That's specifically what those people focus on is looking for blood splatter. It's like, that's an interesting thing to get good at. But I mean, we need them, so
it's true.
Glad they exist. Hope they're not actually killing people.
Ian,
I briefly mentioned one of them, and that was in Dexter when he has all of the software lined up for Windows, and it was just really satisfying. When I saw one of them had 98 on it, and I was like, okay, that's a one off. And then I checked the next one, which didn't have a date, but it did have a name. And I was like, oh, that came out in 97. Oh, this is good. And then just number 3, number 4, number 5 all came out in like 96, 97, 98. And I was like, somebody has put those there. That either they've just walked into the wrong apartment and this person, I don't know, passed away and no one's lived there for like 15 years and this stuff is just there. But it was very satisfying that they all came from the same year. And I have a missing sin that I liked. And this was at the end of Dexter when
you say missing, do you mean it was cut?
It was a missed opportunity for the video.
He means it got lost.
Wow, you're holding grudges.
It ran away.
Somewhere.
It ran away.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Somebody didn't like me, so they removed my sin. And it's when Dexter's chasing the truck and the head comes out and hits him. And someone's line was just high beams and a flying head. And it's just a title of my sex tape. It just is.
Oh, yeah. The reason I can tell you why I did that, because we had a lot of like.
It's time for
please
therapy.
Do, Jonathan. Please tell me exactly why you don't like
it.
Like, typically, where I'll cut is like if we have a lot going on and there's a lot of really good like sins that are kind of more unique to the. I tend to start cutting the cliches, like the ones that we do
often.
Yeah,
the go-tos. Yeah,
yeah,
no, that
the
makes
go-tos.
Sense. That
thank
totally
you.
Makes sense.
I was trying to think of something nicer than cliches, because I know cliches not mean, I guess. But
he just starts sinning my script and saying cliche.
Like our standards.
Something about
like if there's kids.
Like
or,
our wheelhouse.
Yeah, stuff like that.
The sins we can easily reach for.
We could have a segment on the show just called, you know, BTS therapy, if we need for you.
I think we need it, to be honest.
I also, I feel like, and I
stop cutting my stuff and we won't.
Yeah,
that one also was a little, like, it was gross.
I think it's going to be more like ego recalibration.
Yes, yeah.
That's probably more what it is.
But no, that is what I do. I typically, if I feel like the script is a little too meaty, I'll go in and I'll look for, like, the ones.
No, that makes sense.
I look for ones that are too similar to each other first, and then after that, I'll go through and look for the go-tos.
Yeah, because we can stick sex
tapes
anywhere.
That's racist, just stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true. In fact, that's the title of my sixth.
Yeah.
My
stick those things anywhere.
Research was about the Village Bride, and I already mentioned, like, I looked at blogs to have a better understanding of what was going on. And, you know, there's a lot out there that just sort of hits the, here's 5 things you need to know about this episode. And it really doesn't give you a lot of new information. It's just sort of like a recapping of the episode. But I went to like a fan wiki site, whatever, and my very quick and brief keeping tabs is that I clicked on the one for the organization that put it on. The actually, I pulled up here. Cinema Citrus Co. is a Japanese animation studio founded in 2008. So that was the company that produced that particular episode. And when I was watching it, there was a video that was playing, as happens on most websites. Mm-hmm. And it was this really cool animation of this wiener dog that had like a little like a jetpack strapped to its back. And I was like, I'm in on this. Come on. Cinema Citrus Co. And then I thought, this animation looks really different compared to what I just watched. Maybe they're really diverse and this was just a style of animation that they chose for this. So, but I click on it because I want to know what this show is, and it was a dog food commercial.
I thought you were describing another Lone Star Rider Cowboy, whatever that cartoon thing is that you guys keep writing. What's it called? Lone Star Raider? What is it? No, don't you do this to me.
What are we talking about?
The cowboy.
The singing cowboy?
It's called Lone Something.
Is it? Texas, I don't know. Walker are Ranger. You talking about the guy, the singing cowboy in the air?
No, I don't know. The YouTube video thing that you showed me. Lone Star Ranger. It's something like that. Don't look at me like I'm an alien. I'm losing it.
I mean, you literally are, but...
You are. Whoa. You're from a different place.
Oh, I'm an Englishman in Nashville. Yeah. that's right.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Did we watch this in the last day?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. I joked that you made it just to trick me, but it's a video that you've been...
Homestar Runner.
I said star. Lone Star Ranger, Home Star Runner.
How did you not go
from A to B to
How
that?
How did we not get that
Thank
quicker?
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, Home Star Runner.
Yes, yes. it sounds like that.
Yes, there you go.
It did feel that way where Good. I was like, I'm being trolled. I was so Someone disappointed is. Because I'm like,
Lone
this...
Lone Star Cowboy.
It's so close.
So close.
I really thought that I was going to find a cartoon about a wiener dog that like gained superpowers, but it was a pedigree. Pedigree was the name of the dog food brand. It was a Pedigree commercial.
Nice. Do you have that over here?
At least
here,
it wasn't a Pepsi commercial. Mm-hmm.
No, that's true.
And that was my keeping tabs.
Very nice.
Nice.
All right, let's head into the comments section. I want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're just going to take a look at some comments that came our way from the week. I will mention that I got very confused by a comment.
I think we have the same one.
Oh, are you going to talk about this?
Oh, yeah, that's the only one that I've got. What if I have this one, too? Is it from Dexter?
Let's just talk about it.
That's fine. I'll save it because I have something else I want to do.
Okay, cool.
But I just, when we tell that story, I will tell you about it.
Let's do it. Let's jump
in.
Jump into it. Go.
Was it a very simple comment?
Yes,
like one sentence?
Yeah.
Okay, can you tell me? Well,
let's just talk about it. If we all three have it, let's just
talk about it. Ian, tell us.
We were watching the videos prepping for the show and
together in the same room,
which was awesome. And Aaron's just like, someone's just said that I'm the Dexter of cinema
Dicer sins. TV sins.
Yeah. And I was like, that's really harsh. That's so mean.
I don't get it.
And like, I was like, that's really like, that's come out of nowhere. And about 6 hours later, I go back into the video and I'm like, oh no, I wrote that. I said that. Aaron, yeah. I said it's in the narrator. The narrator is the Dexter.
Wait, am I Dexter?
Yeah. So I then had to apologize.
I didn't think about that. So that's where they put that.
So it confused you too.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what was amazing is it's somebody we know is a big fan and we've interacted with and we love.
Yeah, because this would have been the Patreon video.
Yeah, it was a member. Yeah, it was a comment from a member. I'm just like, what?
And Why am I the
somebody
Dexter?
That intimately knows Aaron and his tendencies. And B, that knows
and
that
you're like,
the
I'm about to live with this guy for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable.
I don't know.
You know what it was? We got a notification when that comment came in, and it was like all of our emails popped off, and it was like, Aaron is the Dexter of TV Sense. And we all looked at each other like, what does that mean?
Well, I love that, the ignorance.
So funny.
And then the 6 years later, the realization of,
yeah.
Oh, no, I did that. I'm so sorry.
We did it. That was a prompt from the script.
Yeah. If there was ever a comment we were all going to pick, it had to be
Yeah, that was mine as well. So.
Oh, that's really amazing. Yep. Yeah. Well, there weren't a lot of arguments on the videos.
How about that? That's the first time.
That's amazing.
The other feedback I have was something was sent to us in the mail.
So, look at that.
This comes from our friends at Twinkle Toes.
Oh my
God. PAC.
Yay.
You may remember we talked about them a couple times. They sent a really nice email and a really nice follow up.
And didn't they clarify that the children only listen to specific parts?
Yes. I don't know that they clarified that, but I'm still at least assuming. I think maybe they did clarify
Hello,
that.
Hello, children.
But they sent an absolute plethora.
Nice.
Of t-shirts
oh
and
that's amazing.
Clothing
what is happening
that
right
stuff.
Now?
So
nice.
We will hand this out.
Thank you. Afterwards. Oh, they're even like bedazzled.
Yeah, it's like it's Twinkle Toes, and then you've got like these they're bedazzled.
We're gonna twinkle parts. When we wear them.
Well, one of those is going to England. That's gonna be taken next to some landmarks.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Twinkle Toes. We do appreciate you.
Guys are amazing.
Now that we're all in the same room, I thought I could blow that.
Nice,
it's perfect.
Can grab one. So there you go. All right, let's move into Beyond the Sins.
To infinity. And beyond!
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're each going to chat about something else from the world of pop culture that we've experienced recently. Jonathan's going to kick us off. What do you got, man?
Yeah, mine is 100% a Warren. Not that it matters now, because apparently it's you know the most watched thing on Netflix in a day. But I watched Red Notice. I didn't watch it till a couple days later. I watched it like on Monday, I think, because... I saw my mom the day before because my daughter had this cheer event. She came with us, and she was telling me that she had watched it. I actually was thinking I wasn't even going to watch it, and then she was like, no, it's pretty good. And I don't know why that decided, well, now I need to see it. But the next afternoon or whatever, I was like, yeah, I'll watch Red Notice. I knew it had gotten like really, like, I knew people didn't like it. Like I had seen enough on Twitter. I hadn't read reviews, but I knew like it wasn't getting like, well, good notice, and it felt like people were kind of angry about it and stuff, and I was like, okay, whatever. So I watched it, like, the first, like, 80 minutes or so. I don't know that I liked it, but I was still just kind of like, oh, these are just, you know, it's people that I kind of enjoy sometimes, and they're on an adventure, and they're making quips, and there's some decent action, so I was like, this is okay. And then the last, like, 20, 25 minutes of this movie happened, and I mean, I have rarely seen a movie shit the bed. I mean, this is like, just like diarrhea, just all over the mattress.
Oh, no.
It's just, it's insane. There is a, I don't care. Some people say, if you see, even say this, it's a spoiler. So if no one wants to be spoiled at all, just cut off for a few minutes. But there is a twist that happens with about like 15 minutes left or whatever. You've seen it, right?
I have.
You guys talked about it. So there's a twist that happens. And I remember at one point, like early on in the movie, there's this whole bit where The Rock has to go to jail because he gets like falsely, like he gets set up. And there's a moment in there where I was thinking, oh, I wonder if that means this. That would be really stupid, though. So they're not going to do that. And then with about 15 minutes left, they fucking do that. I was like, no.
Nice.
And then there ended up being kind of another twist after that was even worse. I mean, like, okay, for the one I always go to is Now You See Me, where you find out, and I'm sorry, I'm spoiling Now You See Me, but you find out Mark Ruffalo's been involved in this the whole time.
Right.
And it's insane. It's so fucking dumb. It makes no sense. It makes so much more sense than what happens in this movie, though, to me. Like, I thought that was, like, all of a sudden, I'm like, woo, Now You See Me looking pretty good today. I also will say, the other thing, like, I don't really, I'm not, like, angry. Like, I don't really get angry. But, like, I will say The Rock is kind of disappointing me in this last few years because I feel like he just has, maybe he just has too much control of the narratives and stuff that are going on, because I'm never surprised. Like, he has these directors he always works with that are like, they're not names that you just know. It's like this Marshall Thurber or whatever is the one who did this. And I think he did like Skyscraper maybe and a couple of the other ones. Somebody did the Jumanji movies. You know, it's like he carries these guys around in his pockets. Okay, I need you to direct this for me this year. It's kind of like how like Sandler did that with like Dennis Dugan and stuff back in the day.
Sure.
And I just wish, I was talking with Jeremy about this the other day. Like, I wish some director that like would get him to work with him and, you know, get him to do something different. Because early on, like stuff like The Rundown and Walking Tall, when The Rock wasn't quite the big star that he is now, like, those are the ones, like, I like, you know. But maybe it's just me, because people are still watching these damn movies, so maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know. But I just don't really care as much. Whenever I see he's in a movie now, I get so, I'm so not interested, or at least not as much as I used to be, because I just know exactly what's going to happen, because he has this, like, story arc that he always takes his characters through, and it's just verbatim, like, every time. And I don't know. It'd be cool if he'd go work with like Christopher Nolan or somebody that would actually make him do something different. Kind of like Clooney did when Clooney went and worked with Soderbergh, you know, and Soderbergh basically said, like, you've got like 37 ticks. You're not going to do any of those. You know, it was like, there's like a story behind that. I wish he would do something like that, but maybe it's just for me. And that's not important, because clearly he's got a huge fan base, but I really hated this movie. especially the last 20 minutes. And it's a, yeah, that's a warn. So
I cannot argue with a single thing you said.
But you liked it.
But I did like the movie.
I am so split.
That's what
now.
I'm saying. This is why me talking about The Rock being so generic is on so many deaf ears. So it doesn't really matter. I mean,
no, and it is that. It's totally, I mean, it's more Ryan Reynolds than The Rock for me, but it is totally, I will spend 90 to 120 minutes with Ryan Reynolds. I don't even care. Oh, like, I it's just, him. He's so
he's
fun. And like, I ignore so much just to like hear him do a quip.
Yeah,
every
he's fine.
Like,
he's fine. I mean, it's shtick, you know, that he always has. And the movie doesn't earn a lot of it. So, I mean, the movie itself just can't, I don't know. You know, Ryan Reynolds is like, there's like two Ryan Reynolds. And this was still kind of the good Ryan Reynolds, but it was kind of teetering on that more like what he was in like Hobbs and Shaw, which is like, but I know what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to not like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I had a good time.
I don't know that I bought that he was like the second best, you know, art thief in the world.
Yeah.
But he's a AAA rated bodyguard. Why couldn't he be an art thief as well?
Yeah, that's true.
I think I'll go next. I watched a movie called The Electrical Life of Wayne.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, Ian watched a lot of this movie with me
It took a day.
it did take a full day. This is Benedict Cumberbatch is having quite the year in a lot of stuff. But he is the central role here. And I think of all his performances that I've seen this year, which, by the way, let me see if I can list them. Power of the Dog is one that a lot of people haven't seen yet. I think that comes out on Netflix December 1st. You've got this one. You've got The Courier that came out earlier this year that is also kind of awards baity. And then there was one other one that he did. But of all of them, this one I think is actually his biggest performance. Like, he is doing some things in this movie I've never seen Benedict Cumberbatch do. And he's taking, like, you talk about wanting The Rock to take risks. Like, this is what he's doing in this movie. Yeah. He's taking big old swings, big old risks. They work 80% of the time, maybe 70% of the time, performance-wise. The movie, however, only works about 20% of the time, and it is the exact 20% at the beginning.
Yeah. That first half hour, I was like, man, I am ready for this to be my favorite film of the decade.
It's so fun,
so
right?
So good. And then it just tanks.
Then it just turns into something completely different, and then it turns into something completely different again, and it just never recaptures kind of the energy that it has for that first 20-30 minutes.
Oh, interesting. But is this on Amazon or something?
Yes, this is on Amazon. This is on Prime. It is a story about a true person. And basically, I'll give you the heart of the story of this actual person, which is interesting, right?
Like, absolutely.
So the actual story is interesting, but this person basically invented cats as pets. Before him in his art, cats were not seen as pets.
They were functional.
They were street animals. In England first, he kind of made it cool to have a cat as a pet, and then it kind of brought it to America. So that is interesting. But but the movie, I don't know. It's trying to do too much, I think, and just show you his whole life. And I kind of wish maybe they cheated it a little bit more and just streamlined it and, you know, given you a through line. Because there's something that happens less than halfway into this movie that just completely shuts the movie down. And it's like the movie should be over within the next 10 minutes. But it's not going to be. It's going to be another hour and 10 minutes.
We find out and The Rock were in on it the whole time.
The whole time. Yeah.
Did he do a movie called The Current War, Cumberbatch? Is that right?
That rings a bell.
Because I remember when I've heard this title, because it has like light or something in the title. I've already forgotten what you said now, but didn't you say
The Electrical Life.
Yeah, I think it's
Louis
The Electrical.
Wayne.
And I think there was a movie called The Current War. Maybe that wasn't Cumberbatch, but it was somebody, and it was in the last year or so, and it had to do with the invention of electricity or whatever.
Was that the Tesla thingy?
Maybe that's what it is. So that's why I was getting that confused with that, I remember. So I had no idea that's what this was about. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and then he's also going to be in Spider-Man.
I was going to say, he's got Spider-Man the way home.
He's been doing What If, voice work and What If.
Yeah, there you go.
The Rock is going to be one of the Spider-Men as well.
I haven't seen Power of the Dog, obviously you have, but what I've heard is that, yes, Cumberbatch is great, but Plemons kind of just steals that movie.
That wasn't my experience.
Well, that's cool.
But Plemons is great. Everybody's great in them. Let's see, Danae, what do you got?
Well, I mean, of course, I came completely prepared to talk about something, and nobody in this room had to be like, you could talk about
the thing we did 12 hours ago.
So we're all together. We're in Nashville, and Chris Atkinson is like a live music lover. Something I didn't really know about him, but mm-hmm. I've Huge. Learned over the last mm-hmm. couple of years, he really enjoys like going to concerts and stuff. I've never been that person, probably because I'm from a small town and I just don't think about traveling 3 to 6 hours to go see a band. But I understand now, is what I'm going to tell you.
Ironically, like this band, you wouldn't have had to travel 3 to 6 hours because they lived next door to you.
This was an experience. I had an experience watching the live music last night. So part of it could have been the venue. We went to the Ryman, which is a really famous place. Mm-hmm. And maybe they have the best PA. Like, oh, I don't even know.
The
acoustics are in there, but then also it's not just that, but the clarity of the sound that was, mm-hmm. I mean, that's also production. That's also mm-hmm. equipment, right? I don't know. It was phenomenal. But I think so it could have been that. But both bands that played that I saw, because we missed the first one because they were kind of like the opening bands and we were getting mm-hmm. dinner and stuff. So we got there and we saw most of the set from a band called Foxing. And they're from St. Louis, which is the mm-hmm. reference that Ian made, which is they're very close. And then the main headliner was Manchester Orchestra.
Yeah, Orchestra. Yeah.
I keep wanting to put symphony in there and it's not the same thing. I would never have like just purchased tickets to go see these people. So it was just like one of those things where Chris had extra tickets and invited us along. And I said yes. And I'm glad that I did because it was really incredible. I think what I would say to you anytime I'm recommending music to anybody is I don't know if it's because I was in a live experience. Do you know what I'm saying? That it was mm-hmm. so good. But Foxing is unexpected. It reminded me a little bit of Freddie Mercury, you know, like watching a few scenes wow. from Queen and looking at
his like outtakes. Stage presence.
Yeah. Well, there was researching outtakes with Queen, and there was like this moment when, you know, Freddie Mercury, the scene is, you know, he's describing what he wants to do with this sort of new operatic style. And he's sort of like, I want to break rules. And that's reminds me a lot of what Foxing was doing. Really breaking rules because he can do scream voice and falsetto and incredibly precise, like hard, and then just like this operatic thing all in one song. And it's really difficult to describe. Again, live, it was really amazing. But what was incredible about it is he was so precise with his voice. He really performed well and his band was really great. And that was Foxing.
And he had
band.
A trumpet.
He did play trumpet at one point in time. So that was unexpected because I don't usually go for screamer stuff, but it was paired with all this other stuff going on. It was whiplash, delightful whiplash. And then Manchester Orchestra, which I'd never heard of before, blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And I would highly recommend anyone to. It's very deep lyrically. The crowd was really moved. They were singing along. They were like into it. It almost, it was really intimate. And then also just this hard do again, but paired again with this really incredible falsetto voice. And so it was delightful. And mm-hmm. I would recommend checking them out. It will not sound like it did in Ryman. And I've been listening to him on Spotify and I'm like, yeah, that's the song I heard. But that is not the song I experienced.
Yeah, Ryman's a good venue. I've seen a lot of people there.
Yeah.
There's just nothing like that drive of 4 electric guitars and incredibly precise drums, and you can hear all of the different types of drums that are being played because the sound is so pure and perfect, and this electrifying clear voice, and it's just like just jolting through your body and you're in the back row. It was really fucking cool.
Right. So, yeah, because that was the I guess that was the original place the Grand Ole Opry was at. I mean, mm-hmm. the Grand Ole Opry has been moved for years, but the Ryman's content to be a venue for a lot of artists and stuff. Yeah. So,
super unexpected thing. I did go and purchase Foxing merch because I'm like, I gotta support this band, man. And how do you support a band? You buy the CD even though you don't have a CD player,
mm-hmm.
and you just get a T-shirt or whatever. So I did, and then I opened up the CD and it unfolds like, you know how you get a little booklet with it or whatever. It unfolds into this Dungeons and Dragons situation. So I didn't even know that Foxing
was
D&D. It was
like a mini character builder thing.
It was
it's
a mini character
so
builder.
Cool.
And so I was like, I get you on a whole new level now, Foxing.
And
so,
isn't that whole album, isn't it about Dungeons and Dragons? Did it all tie in?
I don't know. I don't know because I haven't listened to the whole album before.
So, like Coheed and Cambria, they all kind of intertwined.
Yeah, I gotta buy a CD player. Yeah,
yep. If you have like a DVD or Blu-ray player, though, you could.
Well,
but they don't do it on computers anymore, right? You don't get disc drives anymore.
I could listen to the music on Spotify
right
now.
Exactly.
But I literally bought it just to. Because I just want to make sure
it becomes
they
becomes a keepsake at that point.
Yeah,
this is a lot of physical media now is pretty much display and keepsake. And
I think I'll probably sew the insert. It like triple folded and then double folded back in on itself. So I'll probably just pin it up on a wall because it's sort of a neat little piece of artwork where it has a little D&D-esque style to it. And when I pulled it out, I was like, oh, this is like D&D. It's like a D&D character without realizing that they actually had it. It is a description of a subclass of Dungeons and Dragons. It was fun and delightful.
Yeah, cool.
Anyway, Foxing in Manchester.
Ian, finish this off.
I had a 12-hour flight, so I managed to watch 3 movies. Everyone was like, what are you going to do for 12 hours? And I was like, same thing I do every day, Pinky.
Yeah.
Going to watch some movies. So I watched Nobody, The Wrath of Man, and The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. So it was a bit of a triple bill of action. I was pumped by the end of it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to talk about my favorite, which was Nobody. I really love this format of film. So it's got a lot of Taken vibes, but I actually prefer it over Taken. It's a lot grittier. It's Bob Odenkirk, who you would not peg as this role if you've seen him play Saul Goodman. He doesn't necessarily get super beefy, but I just love it when action films are shot where you can see the action. Now, that sounds pretty simple, but it's bloody rare. There's not a lot of jump cuts. He's a reluctant. I'm kind of struggling with his motivations as to why he decides to start kicking all of the butt again, other than everyone seems to be judging him for not using his skills to defend his family after a burglary. That's the gist of it. But when this gets into the action and the grittiness and his one-man army ridiculousness, it's so good. It's just fun. It's like an hour and a half. It's such an easy time commitment as well. But I loved it. Just one of those films I'd pop on again. Super entertaining.
I still need to see it. What'd you think of Wrath of Man?
Oh, man. I went in spoiled by The Gentleman because that's probably my favorite Guy Ritchie film. And this is, I think, his follow-up to it.
To
The Gentleman.
Oh, Gentleman. Yeah, yeah. I like Gentleman,
too. It's so good. This is much slower. It's still got Guy Ritchie all over it and Jason Statham, but it's bloody miserable. And the story itself is miserable.
Oh, man. I loved it.
I don't know. I think it had some pacing issues. I like the story.
No, I'll be honest. I mean, that's still today, it's my favorite movie of 2021. Mm. I haven't had it beat yet, but
I didn't dislike it.
The
pacing was a bit off for me. It was a weird Statham role. Like, he's really subdued, which I kind of like.
Yeah, and it's a very different. It's not your typical Guy Ritchie movie.
No, it's not. And I think that's what I got a bit. I was waiting for something. Maybe if I watch it again, I'll have a different opinion. But I was waiting for something punchier because it's a pretty standard heist film.
You said you thought it might be his best film, right?
I think it is his best film.
Yeah.
I agree. On if you're going to start talking objective level, cinema kind of stuff, which I'm always very careful with because that's not how art works.
Mm-hmm.
But as you start breaking stuff down, I think it's more nuanced than anything he's ever done before.
I read a review that somebody said something like, it's not your typical Guy Ritchie film when there's a character named Bullet and it's not the one played by Jason Statham.
That's true. I think it was the Christopher Nolan time stuff that got to me a little bit. It jumped around. And it shows you scenes from different perspectives, mm-hmm. which is important,
yeah, I can see it.
But
I don't know what you call that kind of heist movie, but I really dig that kind of... But I don't know what you call that.
The plan's kind of being described as it's happening.
I don't know. I dug it, man.
I feel like it should have hit
me. Den of Thieves kind of falls under that.
No, I love Den of Thieves.
Yeah.
Love that to bits.
Heat.
Yeah. I maybe need to see it not on a cramped airplane
in the
middle of a flight.
I mean,
but
you're not going to... I mean, people disagree.
Hmm.
That is The Wrath of Man, a little bonus review, but Nobody...
Oh, yeah.
Nobody is the Beyond the Sins, which is available to rent at all major platforms. Manchester Orchestra is live music that you can check out.
And I think they're touring right now.
So probably, I guess that's... It's not always with the same opening bands,
but it might be. Foxing, their newest album, Manchester Orchestra, actually helped to produce it. Oh, so nice. they're pretty tight together as far as, you know, like supporting each other stylistically.
So they probably
and everything.
Are touring
so
together
I'm assuming
then.
That they'd be touring together. Oh, yeah.
Nice. The Electrical Life of Louis Wayne is on Amazon Prime, and Red Notice is on Netflix. That's going to wrap it up for Behind the Scenes this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed. Go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. If you've got anything you want to send us, like, you know, t-shirts, whatever, mail it to P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri, 65738. You can hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. He is at Witsend.
W-H-I-T-T-S-I-N-N-E-D.
She is at Danae Says.
D-E-N-E-S-A-Y.
I can't even see the wave file. That was so quiet.
D-E-N-E-E-S-A-Y-S.
And he is at Sam Loomis 13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Ian Whittington, Danae Hughes, a night flying hamster baiter, and myself, we will see you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yay! Or
happy Thursday.
Yeah,
right. Either way.
Talk to you today.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
Just throw that microphone into your face, Danae.
That did not have any tension in the arm at all. It was just immediately like a face punch. You're the coolest one of us.
How's that?
It's just true.
Oh, okay. That's sad.
There doesn't have to be any evidence to...
Then I feel way worse for all three of you than I did before I walked into this room.
Can you get excited about something?
Oh my God!
Okay, Jonathan?
There's a new drinking rule. Take a drink when Ian uses his high-pitched voice.
Oh, when I get really mad? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that happened a lot last week. I got really mad about something.
What's your high-pitched mad voice?
It doesn't make sense. Like, what are they doing? It doesn't matter. The crown sucks.
Yeah. What were you getting mad about?
Oh, it could have been Star Trek.
It seems likely.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear? Work in retail in a mall. I always remember what was that one? It's like, happy holidays, happy holidays. It's like Bing Crosby or somebody. I don't know, Dean Martin.
The bells keep ringing.
Oh my God.
No, thank you.
Just over and over.
Do you?
I wonder if malls still do that. I wonder if malls
no,
still
do
that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's the same. It's the same song.
From basically November the 1st, Toys R Us was all Christmas songs. All Christmas songs.
You still have Toys R Us?
No. Oh. This is when I worked for them like 6 years ago. So
yeah,
most of the buildings are still there.
They went completely
but they're
out
dead.
Here. I don't know, they're gone. A few years ago.
They tried to reboot, but yeah.
I mean, that's where we got like diapers and stuff because we found out if you went there on Sunday morning during when most people were in church, there was no one there. And my wife and I are heathens. So
Nice.
There you go.
So you could go in and get your diapers and your formula and then you'd get the hell out of there.
Ironically, that's what church is for, too.
There isn't formula?
No, getting the hell out of there.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yes,
it's
it is.
True. I'm leaving.
Christmas.
And that's... Yeah, one person has to stay on the low one.
Oh, okay,
that's
it,
to build it. Oh, where's the key changing? You went up again.
Ding dong, ding dong.
And then like 3 days after that, I fly to Ireland, which is no like time difference, but yeah, I'm barely.
What island you flying to?
Ireland. Damn it.
My new trainer out of nowhere the other day was like, you got this, big dog. And I was like,
oh yeah.
Big dog, huh?
But that is like a term though, right? Like,
yeah, it's a choice. Yeah.
I think it's meant to pump you up, you know, kind of like get you excited. But Aaron's not that person. Aaron's the one that if you call him a nickname, he'll stop and he'll look you in the eyes and say, hey, I'm Aaron, and I prefer if you use my actual name.
Yeah, you gotta earn nicknames.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel like when you work out, they kind of give you nicknames because...
They're trying to pump you up.
Yeah,
well, but it's not unique. If it was unique, that'd be one thing. If it used my name in a unique way.
So if, like, the person came in after you and, you know, you're, like, toweling off and you heard him say Big Dog the next time, you'd be like, really cheap. That's mine.
Right, no, that's what special. I'm saying. If you're just throwing out the same nickname you use for everybody, then
yeah.
What's the point?
You should probably stop going to the gym barking. That might help.
That might help. That might be it.
Or bark when he calls you Big Dog, which will deter him.
Just to make him feel love awkward.
It. He'd be like, yeah, get and it.
You're just like,
get it, Big Dog.
Less Chihuahua, more Rottweiler.
Maybe if I,
much better.
Maybe if I bit him.
I would not.
Uh-huh. No, let's let him.
Oh, okay, good.